Today, the Dynamic Doula to Doula team is reunited. We were so excited and so inexperienced at in-person recording that the mic was put on the wrong setting. So we apologize if the sound quality of this episode is diminished, but are so grateful that we could be together again and have you all join us on this episode as we catch up on what's been happening over the last several months. Doula to Doula is sponsored by Tranquil Touch Birth and Women's Wellness, offering massage therapy, birth doula support, childbirth education, and perinatal mental health coaching. Please find out more at TranquilTouchForWomen.com. That's TranquilTouchForWomen.com. Thanks for joining us for another episode of Doula to Doula, conversations about pregnancy, birth, and the doula life. I'm your host, Exi Bueller, owner of Tranquil Touch Birth and Women's Wellness, providing nurturing care and support to women and families as a licensed massage therapist, certified birth doula and childbirth educator, and perinatal mental health coach. I hope that you find this show informative and entertaining, but please note that it is purely for education and entertainment purposes. At no time should anything said in this or any other episode be construed as medical advice or take the place of your medical providers. Thank you so much. I hope you enjoy the show. There we go.
Works.
It works. It works. We're here together for the first time in, like, oh my goodness, how long has it been?
At least a year, right?
Well, in person.
Yeah.
Did we do it in person once before?
We did. I mean, one time with the Beaver Village.
That was like 2022. No, 2022. 2020?
2021?
It was a long time ago. It was too long ago. But then you and I, even by Zoom, we haven't been together. And that has been, I don't remember when. Love your new glasses, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
They are adorable. They are adorable. I'm in need of new glasses, but I'm trying to put it off till next year because, you know, vision insurance and contact lenses. I spend so much money on contact lenses. I don't really wear my glasses that much, but they're a little outdated because they're like 20. Well, let's see. I think those are, gosh, those might be 2017.
Okay,
frames.
Wait a minute. Did you change the lens?
Yes.
Oh,
I have updated the lenses.
If any listeners, they're gonna be like, wait a minute.
I have updated the lenses, okay. But the frames I think still are okay, but they're not fashionable like yours. Oh, they're not stylish.
We just had a whole family visit to the eye doctor and I got glasses for myself, glasses for the kids, and
The kids are, did the kids wear glasses before?
Both kids wear glasses. They've been in them for a while now. I have to say, yeah, they've been in them for a while.
Has this been a while since I've seen your kids?
Oh my goodness, you wouldn't recognize them.
I'm sure I wouldn't. I saw pictures, some friends of ours are vacationing and I haven't seen them in ages. I've seen her, but I haven't seen the whole family. Mm-hmm. And I saw their pictures on social media and I looked twice. I'm like, her son, that's not her son. Yep. And then I looked at another picture where they were next to each other. And I'm like, oh, that is her son. I showed it to my husband. He's like, no, that's not him. He did the same thing. Yeah. And then when I showed him the other picture, he looked at it and he goes, oh my goodness, I wouldn't even recognize him.
These kids, they grow too fast. Early is like almost as tall as I am now.
Oh my goodness. Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness. Yeah. And they're finishing up the school year. So
yeah.
Just to remind our listeners, because it's been so long, our podcast, Doula to Doula, we talk about all kinds of things, right? Not just birth stuff, but parenting stuff too. Yeah. And you have been up to it with the parenting stuff.
Yeah,
I think the last time, and I've got some parenting news myself, even though mine are no longer littles, but we'll stick with you for right now. The last time that I think I should have listened to our last episode just to kind of refresh my memory.
Into it and then you know life
exactly. But I want to say you had started a new job, were wanting to sell your house, transitioning your kids off of a hybrid schooling model into a new schooling model, but then if you were going to move, the whole school district situation. Mm-hmm. So update us, because not just our listeners, but I don't even have, I don't even feel like I know everything that's been going on.
There, it's been a whirlwind looking back at the past like year or so has been insane. So we sold our house.
Mm-hmm. Congratulations.
Thank you. And then we rented for a little while because the market was super, super crazy. It was like that.
Oh, that's right.
So we just paused and rented, and then we ended up finding a house that we absolutely love. So it we'll have owned it for a year next month, actually.
Oh, wow.
So that's how fast time is going, like insane. My kids, they did end up going from like virtual to in person. Those were their first year. Surprisingly, the resiliency of children always just blows my mind because I feel like as an adult, I'm not that resilient. But they just really, they picked up like it never, like they never stopped, and they were virtual for over 2 years.
Wow.
So they love it. And it's been hectic for me. Two kids, two different schools. Mm. We live too close to the schools for them to take the bus. So I have to drop them off at two different schools, pick them up from two different schools, and then try to work in between. So a little bit of a headache there. But we're rounding the corner.
Yeah.
Next week is their last day of school, Wednesday of next week. I am like counting down.
Yay.
I cannot wait. I get like my mornings back. Right. Although here comes the request for snacks. So
my oh, right.
Pasto, like pronto.
Right, so, right. Yeah. Well, and then now, are you the type of parent who like you're super excited for the school year to end, but then midway through the summer, you're like, please go absolutely. Back.
Yep, absolutely. I will have like a little honeymoon period. Mm. Probably until they start asking me for snacks 24/7. And then I'll be like, okay, when does school start again?
Right.
At least I'll be in the same school next year.
Oh, that is a relief. Yeah. I remember doing that. I remember doing the multiple school shuffle. Mm-hmm. In fact, I was talking to my youngest son yesterday. My eldest, this would be his 10-year high school reunion. Oh, it's been 10 years since he graduated high school. I know.
That doesn't sound right.
You know, isn't that crazy? He graduated in 2013. Oh, it's hard to believe.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. Time just flies.
Yeah. But we got a graduation invitation for one of the little guys that was in our carpool group. Because being a doula, you have to have multiple plans. And like you, I always drove my kids to school. And so I had arrangements with a friend of mine. And this was one of her kids. Mm-hmm. And now he's graduating. And I was like, I told my youngest, I'm like, do you remember when he would sit in the back seat and he'd be like kicking the seats and doing all kinds of crazy stuff? And be like,
he could sit in
his
back seat.
He's probably
driving.
I'll probably kick his seat, see how he likes it. I get my legs up there, you know, I'm not as flexible as I used to be.
Talk about full circle.
Oh my goodness. But I did see some sad news on your social media a while ago. Your little furry family member Cotton, whatever happened. It was like a book, and I didn't get the ending.
I did leave a cliffhanger there because it was a little tragic, and I haven't told my kids exactly what happened. I don't think they listen to the podcast, so I think they'll be safe. But so we are on 5 acres. Mm-hmm. Although we're in a subdivision, it's like the best of both worlds. So my husband was outside grilling, his favorite thing to do. He had our dog Cotton out there with him. He came inside to grab paper towel, came back outside, dog was gone. We were like searching for the dog. Our neighbors were helping us look for the dog. I put posters up. I posted on every, you know, website. And then we found large animal
species
in our backyard that had white fur on it. And then one of our neighbors found a paw. So it was, so we have coyotes and foxes on our property.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, so Cotton is no longer with us, unfortunately.
Oh, that's heartbreaking.
Isn't it terrible?
Because you don't live in the country. Your new house is not in the country.
Right. Not technically in the country, but it's like country-ish, you know? Like some of our neighbors across the road from us, like the main road, they have like goats and things like that. So it's like country-ish, but more of the suburbs.
Yeah.
But we've spotted them. They've been on our cameras.
Really?
The fox was on our front porch one day. We've seen coyotes, you know, and everywhere around the neighborhood. And, next door people are like, coyote spotted, and they'll put the streets and things so other people with small dogs can put them away. We have hawks. I mean, it's just like, it's really kind of the country, although in a neighborhood.
I've always heard You know, and I've heard here in Michigan people talking about coyote, but I always thought that was like in the really rural areas or it's up north. Like we don't have to worry about them, but clearly we do.
Yes, they are close enough. Yeah, and we hadn't had a problem. I mean, this was in April, I want to say, and we hadn't had a problem at all. And so it just was like super sudden. But we found out if it was a coyote that ended up being the culprit, that they are very intelligent creatures and they'll kind of like play with the dog or like get the dog to kind of follow them or to be, like befriend it almost before
Oh my
they, yeah,
goodness.
before they go in. So we were like really baffled. I mean, it just, yeah. And it wasn't right away that we found any of the
Yeah.
objects. It
Any
was like,
evidence?
yeah, it was
Yeah.
like weeks, you know. So we were looking at animal shelters and,
Right.
you know, just everything that we could possibly do to try to find the dogs.
Oh, I am
Or as
so
far as our kids
sorry.
are concerned, the dog ran away and is living his best life with another family and is
Yeah.
happy. And it would be cruel of us to take the dog back. That's what we're selling them. So,
Oh
yeah.
yeah, that's probably best for them because even though they're growing up, that's still a shocking thing and probably too disturbing for them to wrap their heads around. I would imagine it might even make them afraid to go
Right,
outside.
exactly. And that's what we, you know, we don't want to encourage them to limit their curiosity.
Yeah.
So although, you know, we go out there with them, keep an eye on them, I don't want them to be afraid, especially
Yeah.
on our own property.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. That's
I know, it's so tragic. Like, oh my
no.
goodness.
Oh my word. So, I mean, now you're a pet free home. How are you feeling about that?
So I miss having a furry companion. I work remotely, and so when the kids are at school, you know, that was my buddy and he was always under my feet, and I kind of miss that. But my son told us straight out of the gate, as soon as Cotton was missing, that if we brought another dog home, he wouldn't talk to us anymore. So he was like, Cotton was his everything. Now he may change his mind. My husband absolutely is not in a rush to get another pet. He's like, well, okay, we tried and, you know, and that's it. So I think for now we're going to put the pause button on it. But we had cat for 5 years. So it was really, it's a huge, you know, part of the family that's missing.
Oh, I'm so sorry. And cats are not, you're not cat people.
Well, no, my daughter loves cats. I don't mind cats, but my husband cannot stand
Oh.
cats. Why, I don't know. I wish one day we'll have to get that origin story from him.
Right? It's buried down way, way
We have to peel back some
deep.
layers first. So that'll be a to be continued
Right.
topic.
Oh my goodness. Oh wow. Well, the loss of a pet is the loss of a family member. And I just my sister-in-law recently lost her dog. He was very old, you know, he had a very long life. And they were so cute because they would buy matching pajamas for
Oh,
all of
I
them.
love that's adorable.
That's how like integrated he was. So I was telling a client of mine recently about it, and she recommended a book, actually, a pet grieving book. And she said it's not designed for children, it's designed for adults. But I'll give you the link so you
I
can
would
look
love
at it
to.
because it sounds like it's really good. She's supposed to get it today. It was supposed to be delivered today. So she doesn't listen to this podcast. It's not going to blow any surprises, but I'll let you know if, what her opinion is. But my client said that it's a book that her daughter now gives to anybody she knows who's lost a pet. So I'm kind of anxious to read it because we've lost several pets, you know, in our life as well. Some of them were harder losses than others, you know. But I know, like when I was looking at it, there were also some kid books that were like suggested. So, you know, I don't know if that might be something to...
Every little bit helps, you know. They seem like they're doing okay and like they're adjusting okay because we just kept talking about it and just letting them kind of come to us with their emotions and then like sharing with them, you know, how much we miss them as well. So I think they're settling in for now to it. So hopefully this won't be like, you know, I just worry about the core memories and them looking back and being traumatized, or, you know, it's like you don't want to be the parent who gives your kid a reason to need therapy.
Yeah, we do that just in normal day-to-day life enough.
I hope. that this is not, you know, one of their, I'm sure it'll be a core memory, but I hope we're able to kind of ease it a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, I'm sure you will. I mean, you guys are such great loving parents, and it sounds like you've already kind of like helped them through the acute stages of the loss. So yeah. Oh, I'm struggling right now, I have to say. Not because of your story, but because my asthma is so bad.
Oh,
and the
my
air
goodness.
Quality today,
it's terrible.
It's just awful. And I'm sitting here as you're talking, and my chest is getting tight. And I'm like, is that because I'm ready to cry? Or nope, it's because I can't breathe. So
yeah, I mean, all like the wildfires and the notifications and the alerts that we've been getting on our phones. And the other day I sat down and I was wheezing. Why am I wheezing? I had childhood asthma. So I'm like, what is my problem? And I realized it was the air quality.
Yeah, it's bad. So I'm off camera right now grabbing my inhaler. So
no worries.
Our listeners will have to excuse me for a moment. And we're back. Yeah, I had a client actually call me today. A potential client. He was looking for some information for his wife, and he just went into a coughing fit. Mm. I don't know if he works outside or whatever, but he was just like, this air quality is so bad. So I've been in my house most of the day. So here's what I was doing. I got really sick with COVID at the end of March. And I was sick for 2.5 weeks. I didn't even have a voice. It was so bad. I ended up in the ER. It was awful. But anyway, I missed my appointment to take my tax stuff to my accountant. So she very kindly filed an extension. And she's like, you have until October, but we're not waiting till October. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, I know. So, and it's been weighing on my mind. Like, I got most of it done, but I still had a lot to gather. And I tried to do a little bit from my bed as I was starting to feel a little bit better. But, you know, there are certain things I can't do everything. Like, I have so much with the business that I need to pull together. And so some of the household things I need my husband's help on. And that's where I kind of got stuck because I'm like, I don't have this paperwork. I need this paperwork. And so I put it aside. So it's just been weighing on me. So that's what I was doing today.
Oh.
Was trying to catch up on my taxes. So I was in my downstairs home office the whole day and not exposed at all to the air, but just this little bit of being in the car with the air conditioning on and the internal, you know, using the internal air, but just that little bit of walking outside, I think is like triggered it.
Yeah. The air quality
terrible.
It's horrific. And I was looking at New York because for my, you know, 9-to-5 corporate job, we have one of our offices in New York, and it's horrible. It's horrific.
Yeah. Well, to all of our listeners out there who are in New York or definitely in Canada, who are really being affected by this, our hearts are with you.
Absolutely.
Because we can't even imagine what you must be living with right now, being so close to the fire. So, oh my word.
Crazy time.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. So the job front, what's going on with you on the job? Because just to refresh our listeners' memories, you and I were doula partners for about a year. And then it with the hybrid school and all of that business. So you pulled away from that and then you got a new job. Are you in that same job or are you in a different job again? Or
hello?
I think it was a job a relative put you on to.
Okay. So yeah. So I am still in that job. And I'm supporting the CEO of a company, and then we had a change in leadership. So the CEO that I was supporting has moved on to another company, and I have a new CEO. So, but yeah, I love the job. I love the flexibility. It's been good. It's very busy, which is why I had to take a, you know, hiatus from the, you know, birth work.
Right.
But yeah, I'm still in that job. It's been almost a year and a half now.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Well, I'm very happy to hear that. But you still love birth. You still love talking about it. Are you doing any like off the books kind of with friends and family?
So I did actually. My cousin, who I won't say her name because she actually was a client of yours.
Oh,
for massage.
Okay.
I didn't know you're
doing. No, it's fine. I'm just like, I'm going through all my files rapidly going, who did I know? That's
kind of course. She her and her husband they welcomed a beautiful baby girl. And she had asked me before she even was pregnant, if when she did get pregnant, if I would be her doula. And I said, absolutely. So that came to fruition. I was able to attend her birth and support her. And oh my goodness, she is just so cute. Well, I'll have to, after the podcast, yeah, I have to show you.
Love to see it. Yeah. That's fantastic. That is awesome. Yeah. That's so awesome.
Okay. And I did. I am still wanting to become a lactation consultant. Mm-hmm. So I purchased the course. I just have to find the time to do it. So I'm hoping that maybe the summer will give me the time without running the kids back and forth while trying to work.
Right.
To go ahead and sort through those modules.
Yeah. So you're stuck with, you decided to stick with CBI.
I did.
Good. Yeah, excellent.
Absolutely.
Awesome.
Yeah, I couldn't even imagine trying to change. I'm so used to how they have everything structured.
Right.
And it really suits my learning style. So it was not even a question for me to go back through CBI for that.
Yeah. Yeah. And since you did your birth doula certification through it, you already have the communication module. Yeah. Those assignments all count. Mm-hmm. They carry over. Mm-hmm. So that's awesome.
Yeah, I'm super excited.
Yay. Yeah. Well, I won't ask you who your trainer is.
I don't even know that I know. Yeah. I bought the course and then that was it.
So
I have to even make sure I activated it, all of that. It was one of those kind of middle of the night, I want to do this. And, thankfully my husband was supportive and I bought it and so I had to put the pause on that as well. But I'm really hoping that I can dig into it over the summer.
Oh, that would be great. And there's always room with my clients to have lactation support. So there's always a place for you with me, Shauna.
Good. That makes me very happy.
Yes, yes, absolutely. In fact, that's one of the things that I've been super busy with. So a lot of people in Michigan now have heard that Michigan, in January, they announced that doulas were now covered by Medicaid. The problem is that the program wasn't instituted yet at that point, as far as all of the paperwork and the route and guidance being given to us on how to actually apply for it and do that. So I started applying and I started the process in February when it first became available, and it has just been ongoing. So now we're sitting in June and I've got all, because here's the way the process goes, just in case anybody doesn't know, because I didn't know, is as a provider, you have to go through several different steps to get approved by the state.
Mm.
Once you're approved by the state, then you have to individually apply to each insurance company.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. So for Wayne and Oakland County, I think there's six of them or something. Mm-hmm. And if you want to be able to serve a larger area, then there might be additional insurance companies that, are specific to those counties. So, and each insurance company, their credentialing process is different.
Oh goodness.
So the way that they ask for paperwork is different. What paperwork they ask for is different. Their contracts are all different. I mean, it's
talk about red tape. Which one is worse, that or taxes?
Oh my goodness. It's a close neck and neck race, let me tell you. I mean, there were definitely moments in the process where I questioned my decision to do it.
Oh, wow.
Am I really committed to this? Do I really want to do this? And not only because of all of the paperwork, but because once you contract with any government authority, you have to conform to a certain degree to the way that, they need things done. And as a business owner for 20 years, almost, I've just been doing things my way the whole time. Now, fortunately, I'm very, very, I tend to be very thorough and on top of things. So I had a lot of things already in order that kind of fit what they were recommending and the guidance that they were giving.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking about the poor doulas who didn't, or the new doulas. I was intimidated, and I've been doing this for a long time, not just being a doula, but also being a business person.
Right.
So the certain businessy forms that they were asked for, I'm like, I got it. I got it. I don't even know how some of the newer doulas or, you know, are doing it, I have to give them all of my respect. Because yesterday I held I hosted a little gathering here of some of the doulas who are either in the process or, you know, somewhere completed the process. And there were some who are brand new, like just became doulas in the last year or two. And they're jumping into this. And I think that's fantastic. One of the reasons why the governor pushed for this to happen is because we have such a bad maternal mortality and morbidity rate in the United States, but also in our state. And it's primarily people of color, but it's really women of all races and ethnicities and colors are at risk. I mean, we are just a vulnerable population. We run into situations as women where we complain about a symptom and doctors are like, oh, like I remember I had, you know, I was having some symptoms and they ran a couple of tests. And one of my major symptoms was fatigue, severe fatigue. I had two little kids. And when the test that they chose to run came back fine, the doctor literally, literally patted me on the back and said, well, honey, you have two kids. Of course you're tired. And I was like, you're not hearing me. I am excruciatingly tired. Like I can drink a half a pot of coffee and want to lay down a couple hours later, tired. I have friends who have two kids. This is not normal. And he just patted me on the back and sent me on my way. So as women, we run into that.
Oh,
but then
I get it. That hit a nerve with me because I'm dealing with a situation right now where I know I am not being heard. And I'm so happy for the training that I had through CBI because I'm really like seriously advocating for myself. I literally had a doctor tell me, if you want to come back for any other reason other than the one that you wanted to see us initially, then feel free to make an appointment.
Oh my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
Ay, ay, ay.
So yeah, that's a working.
Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. That's so frustrating.
It is.
It's so frustrating. And then when you think about, you know, I've been on Medicaid in the past. You know, I was on Medicaid because I was low income, but I was also young and I'm also Asian American. So I'm not, you know, in the more affluent demographic or less vulnerable population, I guess is what you can say. And I get it. I mean, I totally get how vulnerable people who are in that community of needing to use Medicaid insurance are, you know, and they oftentimes don't know how to advocate for themselves. And if they're in a position where they're going through pregnancy or birth alone, or if their immediate circle around them is not as supportive as they could be, that just leaves them even more vulnerable.
Absolutely.
So that's one of the reasons why this initiative was set up in the state of Michigan. And for myself, you know, ever since what happened to my sister, I have been wanting to find a way to really reach out and support survivors of domestic and interpersonal violence. And I couldn't figure out how to do it and incorporate it into what I'm already doing. And that's more just because I don't want to spread myself even more thin. And so when this initiative came up, I thought, you know what? So many survivors, when they leave, they need Medicaid because they were also being financially abused by their partners where they didn't have any control over their finances and they're left in great need. And if they have children or they're pregnant, then they really need the insurance. And so they get on Medicaid. And I thought, this is it. This is a way to marry my legacy as my being my sister's legacy and helping survivors of domestic and interpersonal violence, also at the same time, the work that I love to do. So that was why even those moments when I was like, oh, I don't know if this is the right thing. I'm feeling all burdened and burnt out with all the paperwork. I just kept going because that is really what I want to do. And one of the wonderful things about it is immediately Medicaid notified the doulas who were approved on their approved list, once we got through it, that there was another training called Survivor Moms Companion. It was actually researched and founded here through the University of Michigan. And it is all about helping survivors of childhood maltreatment as they are going through pregnancy and also in early parenthood, handling the emotions that are oftentimes brought up. Yeah. So I felt so honored to take that training because it was like another layer to the trauma training that I've had all of this time, and just opened my eyes up to a whole nother resource for clients that I meet who disclose that they have that kind of an experience and that they are in need of support. So now I have somewhere that I can direct them to where they can get that really research proven support.
That's just incredible. I'm so happy that and proud of you for taking those steps to make sure that your clients are getting, you know, the best experience possible and going through the trauma training. I mean, it's such a way to honor your sister and it's such a way to honor your clients. And that just, as always, you just blow me away.
Oh. Well, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. It's been interesting. I've yet to get billed or to get paid. I've billed for a couple of appointments and I got a denial letter. So, because if you don't fill the forms out just so, and I made the mistake of ignoring my intuition and my gut and listening to some bad advice and put something in one of the form boxes that didn't belong. And that's why it got denied. So now I'm like waiting and waiting. So I submitted another claim just the other day. And fortunately, my billing agent clearinghouse caught my errors 4 times. I had to make corrections before they sent it off to the insurance company. And it finally got like, they were finally like, okay, this should work. And they sent it in. So we'll see. We'll see. So that's like a whole nother thing. And that's kind of what we were talking about yesterday is we've all gotten into this now. And many of us have started to see clients who we are now able to bill for Medicaid. Now the question is actually getting paid for it. It's just a different world than dealing with private pay clients.
It really is. And I would hate for that to hinder, you know, any clients going forward, although I completely understand the need to have income and revenue as a doula. So, oh my goodness.
Yeah, it's a balance. It's a balance. I think most of us who decided to do this were kind of like kind of went into it with open eyes. Like, we may not see a paycheck for our work until 6 months to a year afterwards, just because it's so new for everybody. It's new for us, but it's also new for the insurance companies because we are non-medical providers. And so, you know, having certain codes and all of that, like, this is all new stuff. So, I mean, I'm hoping that it all works out. You know, I really am, because I think it's a wonderful program. I think it's going to help a lot of families and in turn, a lot of communities, because let's face it, how we give birth and transition to early parenthood lays the groundwork to how we parent down the road. And those littles end up bigs at some point and have a greater impact on the community. And if they're parented by parents who are living in trauma or living in constant vulnerability, then the chances are they're going to manifest that in some way inside the community. So hopefully we'll see a nice ripple effect. It'll probably take 10 to 15 years to see that, but the hope is that we will see a positive turnaround immediately with birth outcomes. Mm-hmm.
That would be fantastic.
Would be nice.
Yeah, that would be great. I can't wait to see how it continues to unfold and pan out.
Yeah, yeah. But either way, I mean, it's work we all love to do. So, and I'm teaching group classes now. So next weekend, I'll be having 3 lovely couples here to be educated and informed about hospital birth and their options in a group setting, which is really exciting because it's just it's a whole different dynamic. I love my private classes which are just one-on-one with me and the couple. And those are really nice because I can really tailor it to them. And a lot of times we do kind of end up with some disclosures and all of that really help them prepare better for the remaining of their pregnancy and then their births. But the group setting is also nice because you get to have just a different energy level, I think, when there's other couples. So I'm excited.
And questions that maybe they wouldn't have thought to ask otherwise. So it can really kind of open up lines of communication.
Yeah. So I'm really excited about that. So yeah. So
yeah,
lots
that's
of
something
changes.
Like doing going forward as well. Okay, lovely.
Yep. I'm right now I'm offering it like once every few months. Trying to like make sure that, you know, if someone finds out that they're pregnant, you know, in that first or second trimester, they'll be able to catch it at some point in the third trimester is what I'm hoping. But I honestly, between getting sick and all the paperwork, I'm still, you know, kind of like I'm trying to take it slow because I don't want to rush into anything and do it so badly. I want to be able to give good quality support and care at all times. So, and then we've got other news.
Yes.
You know what my news is?
I think so.
You've heard?
I think it's the same news that.
Who does it involve, do you think?
Preston.
Yes.
Okay.
My eldest
yes.
son. Yep. So my eldest son found a beautiful, lovely, sweet, kind-hearted woman, and they're going to get married at the end of the summer. So
I'm so excited.
We are very excited too.
I already sent them a gift.
Oh, my goodness.
As soon as I saw it come through, I like that same day I sent them a gift.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Yeah,
that's
we're so,
so
excited.
Yeah. So, and you know, we're very happy for them because they're a good age to get married. You know, I mean, I was young when I got married and I'm very grateful. I wouldn't change anything in my life. But the fact that they waited, like being the mother, I'm like, who you were, you know, 5, 6, 7 years ago is not who you are today. Who you are today, you're ready.
Yeah.
You know, you still needed to cook a little bit at that point.
Oh,
so thank you.
I'm really, really excited. And, you know, it's just such a, I've seen like pictures of them and they're just so stinking cute. Like, I can't even take it. They're just so cute. And then you get like your daughter.
Yeah. Yeah.
So excited for you to have that.
Somebody asked me recently, so how, cause he'll be moving out of state when they get married also, which will be a big transition for me because, you know, he's lived in my house his whole life. He's just been on the next, you know, right across the hall. And so someone asked me recently, so you'll be losing a son. And I was like, you know, I really try to look at it that I'm gaining a daughter instead of losing a son. Otherwise, if I thought of it as losing a son, I think I would lose my mind.
And I feel like the dynamic with sons, I mean, just that there's always that bond there with their mom. At least maybe it's just wishful thinking because I have a son as well. I just couldn't imagine, like, you know, I would, if he grows up and when he grows up and if he decides to get married, I would want to look at his wife as a daughter instead of losing my son. I think it just helped even like with the mentality shift too.
Yeah, I think it really does. Because I remember when he first started dating and I was like, no. When the first time he told me that he loved somebody, I'm like, no, I'm the one you're supposed to love. You're not supposed to love anybody else but me. So I needed a little time to grow up as well before this stage of his life. So I'm really glad and grateful that I had the time to do that and that he had the time to do that. And yeah, we're really excited. We really are. But it's busy. I mean, it is busy.
And wedding planning and all of that. And then a move. I mean, those are two major life events.
Right.
So
right.
Yeah.
They're both so laid back. I think they're going to take it really, really well. I will probably have a harder time of it, but I'm trying to be balanced about it because my husband and my youngest son, they've already got plans.
I bet they do.
They've got plans. Because my office is in the basement. And they have plans to move my office into my eldest son's room. And then they are going to make the basement, yes, much, much more of along their line. So I will go down there and do, you know, laundry and whatever stuff I need to do, but I won't be down there for hours and hours every day like I am now. It will be more their domain. So I have to say, I am like starting to think about how I'm going to redecorate this room. And it's hard because I'm like, does that mean I want him to leave? No, I Do I? Kind of. Like, I'm kind of latched on to the idea of like having an office with a door on it, like, and a window. Yeah. I can look outside.
some pros there. And then, you know, with him moving, you guys have a place to visit.
Yeah, that's what everybody's telling us. So now with that, the caveat is my husband has a severe phobia of flying.
Ooh.
So yes, we are going to have to get him over that because mm-hmm. I am not going to just wait for them to come here to visit. Right.
Yeah.
So
absolutely, yeah. I think he's going to have to get over that.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're working on that too.
Yeah.
We're working on that too.
I mean, it would take a long time. I think there's a train. If they're moving in the direction that I think, isn't there a train that you can take? It just takes like a long time.
Yeah, probably. Okay. There probably is. I mean, there's a way, right? There's a will, there's a way. There's a lot of people who are afraid of flying, but honestly, the amount of time that would have to be taken off of work and everything mm-hmm. would be substantial. And that would really be the issue because I would want to spend the bulk of my time with them, not traveling. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not that I don't love traveling with my husband, but still.
I get it. I absolutely get it.
So
that is exciting. Yeah. Congratulations
Thank you.
To them and to you.
Thank you.
Oh, that's fantastic. So many good things going on amidst all the other craziness of life.
and it's so interesting because it really does go by in a blink of an eye. Mm-hmm. You know, I do remember when my kids, like your kids, were having the last day of school and merging into the same schools and all of those things. And, you know, I remember when they were very, very young and you feel like, oh my goodness, these nights are so long. The nights are long, but the years are short. They're so short.
Absolutely the truth. I had like a, I don't know, a moment a few, like several months back where I told my husband, I was like, don't you think we should have just had one more baby? And he literally laughed in my face. Like, no.
Oh, that's hilarious.
The way that he just started cracking up, I thought, well, maybe I should have kept that one to myself. I mean, we're past that point. We're not, you know, really wanting to expand our family, but I just thought, it would have been nice to just have, because the baby stage goes by so fast, but
it does. It
then
does.
They turn into tweens, and that stage, although it is quick, it feels longer than the newborn phase. So
you're in it. You're in the thick of it.
Thick of it. Oh yeah.
Ooh. And daughters and mothers are tougher than daughters and sons, I think. I mean, I can speak from the experience of being a daughter. But I can't speak from experience of having one.
Mm-hmm.
But I imagine it's a little bit tougher than.
Like, maybe I'm not there yet. Because I kept kind of waiting. Like, is this the part where we kind of.
How old
like,
is she?
She will be 13 this year.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I'm like, is this when the frenemies kind of stage comes into play? Like, I've just been waiting. And
mm-hmm.
No, right. Like, we're still kind of like besties right now.
Go ahead.
And I love that. I mean, she's into now getting going shopping with me and getting her nails done and like all those things. She's like, Mommy, you make these things so fun. And
aww.
Yeah, so I just thought, oh, this is great.
That's fantastic. So, I hope that lasts.
I hope so.
I hope it lasts. I mean, your daughter is such a sweet, sweet young woman. I can't imagine her being what some of us have been.
Yeah, she's
in that age group, but
she can pull out the spicy side.
Yeah.
So it just makes me, it's funny to me, and I have to remind myself I shouldn't be laughing.
Oh. Do not laugh at your teenage daughter.
So we'll see. And one of the things that's kind of been scary for me is I only had my mom until the age of 12.
Yes, that's right.
So to me, it was like a cliffhanger in life. Mm-hmm. And now that I have a 12-year-old, I'm like, I don't know the dynamic from this point going
right.
forward, although my siblings, you know, I watched them and we all had a really good relationship with our mom. I can't say that I saw really any of
conflict.
You know, the conflict and the battles that come. Now we as siblings, we had our own kind of conflicts with each other. So I'm hopeful.
Yeah.
But I'm not, I don't know, I'm not naive enough to believe that we'll just skate through it. But I'm definitely willing to put in whatever it takes for both of us to come out as happy and healthy and mentally stable as possible.
Right. I will tell you, when my kids were younger, a good friend of mine said to me, as long as your kid is still talking to you, You're doing well. Doesn't always mean that they're talking to you in a way that you want them to talk to you, but as long as they're still talking to you. And that was something I always tried to keep in mind, you know, was, okay, I may not like what he's saying, but he's at least saying it. So I know what's on his mind. I know what he's thinking. And that really, that little piece of advice really served me well, because it kept me from reacting in a way that would shut them down. Because once you do that, I think then you're really in trouble, because then the secrecy starts.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I tell my kids, there's nothing that you can tell me that would make me stop loving you. Mm-hmm. So just, you know, and I try to surprise them with my response, especially if it's something that they know they shouldn't have done, or they're being secretive about it. And I'm like, okay, well, how did that work out for you? Do you feel better?
Right.
Or do you feel worse? You know, hindsight being 2020,
mm-hmm.
and they're like, oh, you're always so calm. So in the inside, it's like a storm, but on the outside, cool as a cucumber.
That's
so
wonderful. I hope so too. Life will be much easier.
Mm-hmm. Oh, goodness. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. So your youngest will be in middle school then?
Yeah. Yeah. My youngest will be in sixth grade, and then okay. My eldest will be in seventh grade.
And so they'll be together next year. Oh, that'll be a relief for you.
For me, yes. For them, probably not.
Do they, in their school, do those grades have a lot of interaction?
Not a lot of interaction, but it's just, you know, my daughter's like, oh, my little brother is coming to my school. Even though this was the only year that they haven't been in the same school. So I keep telling her, you know how this goes.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Maybe it's just because it has been her own for a year that she's kind of taken, like, a little ownership of it, and this is my turf.
Yeah, maybe.
He's coming on my turf.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and he's going to come in with a storm. I already told the principal and assistant principal, like, make sure you drink your coffee.
Oh no. Oh, he's so sweet. I still remember the time that we were doing some outside cleanup together, and we just had a blast. Just him and I.
He remembers that too.
That's one of my favorite memories. I have to say, I just loved that memory with him.
He's really fun. They're both really, really fun.
I hope we get to all get together at some point soon. This integrating back into social activities, I'm still a little bit trepidatious.
Yeah.
About, mm-hmm. You know, I'm like still just taking it really kind of slow, mm-hmm. because there are still people. I mean, I got really sick. Mm-hmm. Your husband got it too, right? You said.
Did Roy? No, my kid. Both of my kids.
Oh,
got
your
it.
Kids got.
Yep. Both my kids.
So it's still going around.
It is.
You know, and we want to be careful, mm-hmm. and so I'm still trying to be cautious.
It was like really scary. I didn't want my kids to get it, and we had kept them in this perfect little bubble. And then my husband and I went on our anniversary trip to Jamaica, and when we came back, like they both. Had it and
did they have it when you like you got back and you had came back to sick kids?
I came back to so my daughter was not feeling well while we were gone. My sister was telling me, or she was like, my throat kind of hurts. And mm-hmm. then when I came back, my son, like, I think he was kind of waiting for me to come home to really be like sick. And he was like, mommy, I feel like I'm dying.
And he has asthma very bad.
So I was freaking out, mm-hmm. called the pediatrician. Thankfully, it was like 24 hours of them being super, super, super sick. And then after that, it kind of tapered off a little bit. But they tested positive the same way that I did for so long.
Yeah.
So it was like still in their system. Mm-hmm. And then with both of them having it, we had just moved into our house of like trying to clean everything again. And we were packing and I couldn't find all of our medical stuff. It was just crazy. It was such a crazy time.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, it's scary. So I'm still trying to be very cautious and respectful and of my own limitations, but also of other people's limitations. And with the work, you know, the birth work, we can't get sick.
Mm-hmm.
I have clients now, I talk to them about it and I'm going through the contract with them and I have a clause in there about sickness. And they're like, oh, I didn't even think about that.
Mm-hmm.
If I have it or my husband has it or you have it, I'm like, yeah, mm-hmm. we still need to think about it. It's still out there and there's really still a possibility. Mm-hmm. So it's much better now, but I'm still a little bit nervous about what winter's going to come, you know, or show. Plus with the wedding, it's like, I cannot get sick again. I will not, because I was sick. She came in. That was the week he proposed to her. Mm-hmm. And I was sick that week. She was supposed to stay with us.
Mm.
And clearly that didn't happen. Mm-hmm. I missed her whole visit. So I'm like, this is not happening again. Yeah. I am going to try to keep myself super healthy. Plus, you know, I don't know about how your kids are, especially your youngest with asthma, but my son and I with our asthma, it's like we still have not gotten back to where we were before. Mm-hmm. And I feel like if I got that sick and I was healthy mm-hmm. before, mm-hmm. how bad would it be if I got it again?
Oh,
you know, and I'm starting off even worse.
Harper had a cough that was like wheezing and mm-hmm. shortness of breath. I feel like for a good 6 months after.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's much better. Well, he was much better. And now the air quality is
yes. Good. This air quality today is just, yeah, it's so strange because so like the people in New York and obviously all along the East Coast in Canada, you look out and like they show pictures, you can't see buildings and stuff. Like that's not what it looks like here, but you can feel it. You can feel it in your chest.
Like
and your
it
lungs.
Was a little easier, especially earlier in the week. I remember looking outside, like it's weird outside. Mm-hmm. And it didn't resonate with me why.
Mm-hmm.
Things just feel different.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so I know some of the schools were preventing like outdoor activities. Did your schools hold off on that?
So they did at first, but then they let them go. I think maybe because it's the end of the school year and they're trying to. So I just let my son know, like, you have to be your own advocate, like, be very careful and very cautious because this can take you out and you can end up missing your last day of school.
Right. So. Right. Yeah. Because the kids with asthma are at a higher risk.
Yeah.
Yeah, their little lungs.
I know.
Well, oh my goodness. I'm trying to think, is there anything else that we've missed talking about catching up? It's for me, it's just paperwork, and more paperwork.
I think that the major thing was like selling your house, buying a new house, kids in school, mm-hmm. and summer break coming up. So
yeah. Yeah. I mean, we're getting a new deck.
That's
kind of also interesting.
We've been renovating slowly trying to renovate our house. We're the second owners and our house was built in the 50s.
Oh, right.
So just trying to
update it.
Update it without, taking it too far. We love the character and the charm of the house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So are you doing all the work yourselves or do you have a designer or someone that you
ourselves? Yeah. Crazy like that.
So what rooms have you completed or are you in the midst of?
So my office, I did my office because I just needed, you know, I work remotely. So I had to have that one space that was just like mine.
And a little zen.
And a little zen.
Yeah.
Please. So now we're like, we put new flooring in the kitchen. And there's some painting I want to do. We have like the pink bathroom.
I remember the picture.
Bathroom. So we're trying to figure out exactly, you know, we want to honor the pink bathrooms and, you know, the legacy and all of that. And it's such good quality that there's no reason to just rip it all out. So mm-hmm. we've been kind of toying with some ideas, but my son is not thrilled that he has to share the pink bathroom. So, yeah.
Hasn't he heard that tough guys wear pink?
Yeah. I think he had to do that so much when he was younger.
Yeah.
That he's like, oh no, I want my own thing now.
I can see that. I could see where he would want to decorate a bathroom for himself.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder how you could do that. Like what kind of things he has an interest in that you could pull into it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
That would require some thought.
I know.
You might need a designer for that one.
I know. I might have to farm that one out because I just can't see how to move past it. But
yeah.
There's like some wood paneling that we want to update, mm-hmm. you know, even paint. And I know some people hate painting wood, but it's not like, it's not, we wouldn't change our hardwood floors. It's paneling. So,
right.
You know, we may have to just, we'll
yeah.
see.
Yeah. It's home ownership is a never ending process.
Mm-hmm.
There's always something mm-hmm. that needs to be up, especially when you buy an older home, but even these newer homes, you know, because my husband's in new construction and he gets phone calls still from people, you know, they've been in their house for a year. Even I think he recently got a phone call from someone who's been in it for 5 years. Mm-hmm. Cause he does the heating and cooling and the audio visual. And so if something goes wrong, a lot of times they'll call them back. So even with newer homes, stuff can happen.
Yep. Oh, never a dull moment.
Yeah. So besides the renovating, any exciting summer plans?
We may take the kids to New York.
Nice, nice. Yep,
but there's some tours and things that they would love to do. So I have a couple reservations, and we'll see if we can actually swing it because there's so much going on over the summer. So Cedar Point, obviously, we have passes for Cedar Point. So we'll be taking them there.
You guys are big roller coaster people?
My husband and the kids are. Well, mainly like my husband and my daughter.
Okay.
Herbert and I were like, we just want like the funnel cakes and the lemonade. And then we may, well, we are taking the kids in November on a cruise.
So. Oh, wow. Nice. And where is this cruising to?
To the Virgin Islands.
Ooh. And they've never been, have they ever been on a cruise?
They have been on a cruise. Okay. This will be their second cruise.
Oh, how exciting.
And they don't want it. Oh, I'm not telling them. Yeah, I'm telling them until like October because I don't want them.
Oh yes, yes, yes. I can absolutely.
We told them that we were practicing going to the airport, but we were actually going.
That's not so right.
And like, make sure we know the route to get to the airport, and then we got there and we're like wheeling the bags, and then the kids are like. Okay, and then we're going through, you know, the security lines, and they're like, wait a minute, we're really going to, and they fell for it. We couldn't believe it.
Oh my goodness. Oh, so wow, that's brilliant. Yeah. That is really, really good.
Because when they saw us packing, I didn't want any questions. I'm just getting it all together, just so we, you know, when the date comes.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Wow. Oh, how exciting. Yeah. Well, that is definitely something to look forward to.
I always want to have it. It just helps me to
keep
looking forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can see that. We're those people and always have been where we take like maybe one big trip in a year. We don't take a bunch of little trips. Yeah. It's just never been something we've been able to do. So I kind of, when I moved into this office, I was losing my mind between trying to close up the other office and the construction going on here and still trying to run my business. The kids were still in school. It was like, well, actually, Ethan was in school, I want to say. Anyway, I mastered the day trip. So I'm like, I don't want to have to find a place to stay and sleep in another, you know, strange, because I don't do well, you know, sleeping in other places. I don't do well sleeping in my own place, let alone other places. But I'm like, but I can drive 3 or 4 hours. I will get up at the crack of dawn and drive 3 or 4 hours, spend a whole day and come back, you know, in the middle of the night if I have to be able to have that. And so we've kind of, you know, like my son's fiance came back and we went to the west side of the state and spent a whole day out there. We went to the dunes.
Oh, I love that.
Oh my goodness. I hadn't been to the dunes since I was little.
So fun.
It was a lot. And we were able to find a place to watch the, oh, what are they called? The off-road vehicles.
Oh, wow.
So we got to watch some of them do it. I did not even know that was really a thing. Like, I knew you could rent dune buggies, but I didn't know that you could, I could have paid to take my Passat up there if I wanted to. You know, they don't care what vehicle as long as you pay the fee. Mm-hmm. And so we were seeing some vehicles. We're like, oh, they're not going to make it. They're not going to make it. And it was really, I mean, they all did. And everybody was safe. But it was really fun to sit there and watch it. And then we got to come home late at night and sleep in our own bed. Oh, so, awesome. Yeah. So we've kind of mastered the day trip thing. So I'll probably do one or two more of those. The summer here is so short.
I know. You blink and it's over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's going to be kind of a balance between enjoying the new deck once it's finished, because, you know, we put a lot of money into it. We waited a long time for it. Mm-hmm. So you don't want to just not use it.
Right.
Plus, when it was like 90 degrees, what was it, a week or two ago? Mm-hmm. My husband was bemoaning the fact that the pool was still closed because we can't open it while the deck is getting installed. And so he was just like, oh, it'd be so nice to just come home from work and jump in the pool. I'm like, I know, dear. But just think of how much nicer it'll be when you're on a deck that feels stable. Absolutely. You're not worried about it collapsing under you.
Uh-huh. Oh, that. So when do you think it'll be done? Is it have a ways to go?
Well, he started the framing today.
Okay.
So I don't have a timeline from anything that he's given me, but I know that there's a couple different inspections that still have to happen. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking, I would be surprised, honestly, if we were in it before the holiday in July.
Okay.
If it got done this month, I'd be surprised. But
we'll see.
I am one who, like, you know, hope for the best, prepare for the worst. So we'll see what happens. But as soon as we get it done, I will find a way to take my computer out there and do my work.
Yeah, there's nothing like working in the sunshine.
I need it. The dogs, they will really love it because they love being outside, but they are losing some of their potty area.
Because
we're building like a lower level, which we never had before. We just had an upper level, so we're building a lower level because I want that for me, since I'm not much of a swimmer. But I want to be able to like have that space, and then the dogs can be with us, and we'll be able to keep them from going up on the deck, because the last thing we need after having replaced the pool once and the pool liner twice is they have dog nails go through the pool liner.
So
I'm gonna get them nice and acclimated to the lower level, and that's gonna be our little space. We're looking forward to it. Yes, and I've never really had one, so we'll see how well I do with getting it set up. Ferris, our newest dog. Our dog's Ferris Bueller. We've discovered, because he's like 9 or 10 months old now. Mm-hmm. He enjoys eating plants.
Oh.
Because I finally bought flowers to put in my front yard, and I had them in the backyard waiting until I had a chance to plant them. And he ate a few of them.
Oh my goodness.
So we haven't put, we got a bunch of potting soil. My husband's like, we got all this potting soil. What are we going to do with it? Because he thinks we can't put pots out in the backyard because Ferris will eat them. And I'm like, once I can be out there with him, because he's very trainable, which is a good thing, I will be able to train him to not eat the plants. But again, we're waiting.
Yeah.
So right now, our backyard is far from being an oasis. It is a construction zone.
It'll all be worth it in the end, though.
I'm hoping so. I really am. And our neighbors are really great, because we had these great big arborvitae bushes that I absolutely loathed. They were there when we moved in. Mm-hmm. You know, we've been in our house now for 25 years. Those bushes were already a nuisance and I hated them, but my husband dutifully went out every year and shaved them down. And every spring we would get a bird's nest in there, but we would also get bees and wasps and other things and, you know, other critters up in there. And was it last year or the year before, the bees were so bad that my husband had to keep apologizing to the next door neighbors. And last year we actually had them sprayed. This year I said, cut them down. Because we are going to put up a privacy wall for the lower part of the deck. So they'll have their privacy and we'll have our privacy, but just cut the bushes down. And he did. So right now it's been really open.
Oh yeah.
So corn sage. And we're very friendly with them, which is nice, because it's a whole nother story if you're not friendly with your neighbors. Yeah. But we're very friendly with them, and they have a little boy. They had a pandemic baby. And he's so adorable. And so it's kind of cute to like hear him, but the dogs don't know what little people are. They go over and they bark. So we're trying to train them to not, you know, don't bark, don't scare them, just lay over there and watch them. So it'll all be better. Everybody will feel much more comfortable once the deck is done, them and us included. So I'm looking forward to it. And then we'll have the wedding. And hopefully, I'm really hoping that September will be a little warmish so that we can still enjoy it a little bit in September. Mm-hmm. And then fall will be here before we know goodness. It.
Oh my, it's like a blink.
I know. It's going to go by so fast.
Oh, wow.
So speaking of which, let's not make our next podcast episode happen in the fall. Right? Let's not do this again sooner than that. We were on a pretty good schedule. We scaled back quite a bit, right? We're at 3 weeks. Yeah. And then we did four to six weeks. Uh-huh. And then it was months.
Yes. Yes. We're easing back into it. So yeah. We're getting back on schedule now.
Yeah. And I've been very fortunate. I mean, I had Sarah Thompson in our last episode with functional medicine. So if you didn't listen to that one, it's a fascinating podcast episode about functional medicine and maternity. And I learned so much there, but then I also followed her on Instagram. She's got a lot of great information.
That's good.
Yeah. And I've actually referred a couple of my clients to her website and stuff like that. So you can kind of hear my voice is starting to go. Like I'm struggling a little bit now. So it's good to wrap up.
Okay.
But yeah, let's we're not gonna tell you guys when we'll be back.
Right.
And we'll have a We'll probably have a more
structured,
yeah, maybe a topic or two. Maybe I'll be paid by then and we can talk about
Medicaid
payments. I hope that we get paid by then. Yeah, the doula's here in Michigan. But in the meantime, we're having a great time with it. We're really loving the fact that doula work is having so much of a spotlight on it right now in Michigan. And we're so grateful for all the powers that be that have directed that spotlight toward the work and highlighted how it can benefit every pregnant person, but especially the vulnerable pregnant people who have more psychosocial determinants happening in their lives, which, you know, hey, we live in a time where who doesn't, mm-hmm. right? It's just some of us need a little bit more help and support than others. So we're grateful that this avenue is there. And I just want to give a shout out to the Doula Advisory Board because we didn't even talk about that. There is a group of doulas who are just taking the lead in educating the state and in turn educating the insurers and also playing the liaison between us and everybody else. And so just a shout out to the members of the Doula Advisory Board here in Michigan. We love you and we're so grateful for the work that you're doing.
Yeah, thank you for everything.
Well, Chana, it's been so good to see your face.
So wonderful. It's like I feel like we could just go on and on.
We could, but I will end up losing my voice for sure. And our listeners will probably be like, skip. What's the next podcast? Cute, whatever. So, but yes, we'll see everybody again soon.
Thank you for joining us on another episode of Doula to Doula. Don't forget to subscribe in your favorite podcast app. For more information about how you can get support from Tranquil Touch Birth and Women's Wellness, please visit TranquilTouchForWomen.com. That's TranquilTouchForWomen.com. We'll see you again soon. Doula to Doula is sponsored by Tranquil Touch Birth and Women's Wellness, offering massage therapy, birth doula support, childbirth education, and perinatal mental health coaching. Please find out more at TranquilTouchForWomen.com. That's TranquilTouchForWomen.com.